You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. This is episode number 87, what you need to know before you try to increase your productivity. Sure how you feel about social media, but I love it and I hate it. And so I'm mostly really active on LinkedIn and not on all the other social media challenges, social media channels, because they are actually challenges sometimes. They can be, you know, quite intrusive in your life, and you can even become quite addicted to them by checking them all the time. So I'm generally not the biggest fan of social media, but I really like LinkedIn because it's just all the professional things. It's very, very good vibrations in there. There's rarely any hate or anything like that. And so I really love it. I get a lot of inspiration from it as well. For the Effective Statistician, we also have a specific LinkedIn group. So just go to the homepage of this episode and find the link there. You'll also find it on theeffectivestatistician.com. And of course, just search for The Effective Statistician on LinkedIn. And it would be great to if you could be a member of that group, because in that group, I'm adding special content that I'm posting nowhere else, and you can see it there. Also, it's great for meeting like-minded people that also listen to this podcast and therefore maybe have a little bit of a similar mindset like you. So in today's episode, we will talk about productivity, but not so much from a productivity standpoint that most of the productivity gurus talk about just doing more and more and more in less time and being more efficient. But today we will talk about how not only being efficient, but being effective. And goal setting is really, really important here. And if you think you know everything about goal setting, maybe this episode gives you a little bit of a different thought process overall. And we'll also speak about a formula that you may not have heard about, how to get to good goals. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video-on-demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. There's a reduced rate at only £20 for the non-high-income countries, and it's also only £95 for high-income countries. So just visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode with Benjamin and myself. Hi, Benjamin. How are you doing?
Hi, Alexander. Oh, very well. Got an interesting topic today.
A topic that seems to be on everybody's mind. I was, you know, whenever you talk to colleagues, it's something, well, I have so much to do and things like that. How do you perceive that?
Yeah, it's actually the same. It's busy time, and actually there's no one saying that, you know, there's not enough to do and things. So actually the topic today is not, you know, what is on everybody's mind, but should be on everyone's mind.
Yes. So today we will dive basically into some basics for productivity. So some things you need to work on before you actually can increase your productivity. And that comes from the notion that productivity is basically consists of two different things. One is what you do, and the other thing is how you do it. Because if you see these as kind of two independent areas, yeah, you want to maximize the span of these two areas. So it's really kind of working on the right things and working on the right things in the right way. That way you get most leverage over time.
Yeah, indeed. And I think this is something that people often, I wouldn't say ignore, but don't consider enough in terms of choosing what to do and how to do it. So, and we touched this topic several times along our way in the episodes, and so it's really something where, you know, it's kind of a reminder of where it all started and where it should all start on your own desk, because everyone's desk is probably so full. And everyone is struggling in finding the time and the order and prioritization and so on. So it's really something that you should think about, get some time, think about it, and really start considering your workload in a different way.
Yeah, because I think what's at stake is really high. So there's a lot of implications if you don't get that right. First is you don't reach your goals at work. You don't reach your potential at work. You get very easily frustrated. You maybe even burn out over time. And if you're that frustrated, you take things home to your family. And I need to be really honest here. I've been there. You know, I've been there completely frustrated because I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, the to-do lists were just getting longer and longer and longer. And you get home in the evening and say, what have I done today? And everything is kind of just, struggling.
Yeah, it's just not satisfying. And then, you need some power for family or whatever is expecting you home. And, if you don't have a satisfying work life, have a loss of energy for everything else. And actually, I mean, these goals or the topic that we're talking about, it's not necessarily only about work. I mean, this is something also for your free time. I mean, if you build a house, if you, want to have some gardening or whatsoever, I mean, it's also, even if it's not considered as work as such, it's still something where you can just apply things. If you have goals, you can follow them in a different way. And this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. In terms of that, there's actually an interesting book by Michael Hyatt that where we're taking couple of these things from. It's called Living Forward. And he actually talks not just about work goals. He talks about all the different things in life that you want to achieve, what be it about your relationships, your family, your things that you like to do outside of work, sports or, so some voluntary efforts. It could be everything. But today, we'll really mostly talk about it in the having work in mind.
Business
work in mind, so to say. Not your gardening work.
But still, you could apply it. No, but anyway, so you mentioned already the what and the how. So what is the what? So
in terms of the what, and we'll go to the how in the next episodes. So this is actually the first episode in a series of four episodes about productivity. And the what is really that you need to set goals. And you need to set goals that point you in a direction where you want to go come long term. And we talked about that in previous episodes. But goal setting is really, really important. And then pursuing these goals consistently over time is important. So you start by setting, if you have your long-term vision in mind, you start by setting your yearly goals, and you can break them down in quarterly goals, in weekly goals, and then in daily actions, so to say. And the we probably all heard about, you know, SMART goals. Goals need to be SMART. And I learned about that very early in my career, maybe, you know, 20 years ago when I joined the industry. I first heard about you need to have a SMART goal. And I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm smart. So what is smart? No, I mean, actually at that time, I remember that as well. It was called really SMART goals, but nowadays I think it's rather called SMART hair goals. So it's
a little bit
increased.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of an adaption that Michael Hyatt put on it. And so it stems from SMART, but some of the words in there are actually changed a little bit. So let's go through the acronym of SMARTer goals here. So the first is, like in the original SMART, it's you need to be specific. So it needs to be something that is really tangible, that, you know, that you can understand, that you can grasp. The second thing, and that already gets more difficult, it needs to be measurable.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
How do you feel about measurable?
Well, it's important. It's especially when you think about, you know, being a manager or, you know, working in a team where you have you need measurability and kind of for fair assessments. Because otherwise, if it's not measurable, you're really in trouble if you have a different understanding, if you have a different, yeah, let's say measurement of whatever has been reached or not reached. And this is a really tricky one. And it unfortunately is often breaking down into metrics where you measure by a number of, let's say errors or delays or days or whatsoever. So which is then again, also misleading in a way. So measurable is really like the hard one.
Yeah. It's especially also if you do a lot of qualitative work, it gets really, really difficult. Yeah. So if you do a lot of consultancies and things like that, then it gets really difficult. But I think I like to package it in a little bit bigger terms. So for example, getting good feedback from customers, getting good feedback from business partners, these kind of things are also measurable. Mm-hmm. They're not kind of in a way a number or something like this, but it's also, let's say, it's more qualitative data, so to say. And
yeah,
through
but still
that, it's measurable. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But on the other hand, it's, you know, if you receive the good feedback, that's measurable. If you don't receive, it does not mean, you know, there hasn't been any good work. So it is just that the feedback isn't there. So that's why it's also not an easy one. So you could then align this to, you know, if you ask them for feedback and you get good feedback. So kind of a questionnaire or something.
Yeah, it can be solicited feedback. You know, it doesn't need to be unsolicited feedback. But I think for me personally, it's also really, really important to have it measurable, because otherwise I don't know whether I personally achieved the goal. So you know, to be honest, first and foremost, I set goals for myself. Because I want to have something that I can, you know, work towards. And we'll come a little bit later into how we actually do that. But I need something that where I can see how good looks like. Yeah. And sometimes if you have conflicting measures, it's actually quite good to have some. So, for example, if you only have a speed measurement, it's maybe good to add a quality measurement so that you can't trade quality for speed or the other way around. It's good to have maybe something like a goal, get good feedback on the SAP and also deliver it on time. Yeah. So then you have a you have something that you know, have a good defined goal where the metrics are not driving bad behavior. Because if you only need to deliver it on time,
it's easy.
It's easy. Yeah, and getting a great one, but if it takes forever, it's also easy. Yeah, but there's kind of, it needs to drive good behaviors. That's where it's coming from. Yeah. And in terms of behavior, that points to the A in smarter. It needs to be actionable. So it needs to be under your control that you can largely achieve it. If there's too many other stakeholders in it, it gets difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, you know, in choosing the right goals. I mean, even if you have an overall goal with different stakeholders, then you should define your goal as the, basically the subset of work or the subset of tasks that are on your desk.
Yeah.
Rather than taking, like, let's say the success of a compound, as the goal.
Yeah.
Because this is not actionable for you.
Yeah. Or, you know, you don't have anything as a statistician that you can usually do so much about, let's say, recruitment or things like that. So, you know, having something that is related to the delivering the study overall in time may not be that relevant. You know, you can say, okay, making sure that at the time of database lock, you have all your tables ready. That's something that's more kind of relevant. Yeah. So having, you know, making sure that you actually can act on it. That's really important piece. And that's also very similar to the A and the original smart, whereas the next one is actually different. The R.
It's risky. So what is meant by risky?
So in the original version, it's called realistic. And in this Michael Hyatt's version, it's risky. And I like that very much because you need to get a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Yeah. So if you reach all your goals that you have set for your years, you were not ambitious enough. Yeah, you didn't push yourself enough. It's, you know, and of course you can have different goals. You can have a goal with your supervisor and you can have a personal goal. Yes, it shoots, you know, more wider. You know, you can, you know, I have seen organizations where they have basically three different timelines, timelines that they're really working on, timelines that they're communicating to the team, and the timelines that's communicated to upper management where they're measured against. And so here it's really for yourself, you need to be risky. Yeah. So if, because otherwise you don't push yourself enough. Yeah. Otherwise you're not growing. That it needs to be outside of your comfort zone. Yeah. It also needs to be outside of your, what Michael Hyatt calls delusional zone. Yeah. So something that is completely unattainable, you know, something like, you're new to the company. You have never heard about this indication, but deliver this SAP for the phase 3 study in 1 week. Of course, from scratch.
Yeah. Sounds challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah. But it needs to be risky because otherwise it also, it's not worth it. Worth pursuing and put a lot of effort into it.
Is it then risky? Can you read the risky as, you know, there's also a chance to fail in a way of, you know, not being able to deliver that at all? Or would it rather mean the way of, you know, okay, you try to do it within a year, but actually it's then 1.5 years that took you to complete the goal?
Yeah, so that could be the case, for example. Yeah, so you do everything to get it done within a year, and maybe then you get it done in 13 months. Whereas if you would have set your timeline for 18 months, you probably take 18 months. Yeah. Mm. So the important thing is where you end up in the end, and your goals need to drive you to exceptional performance. And this exceptional performance is something where you get, you know, excited about that you actually made it. Mm. If it's a safe game, you're not getting excited about it. Yeah. So
we're getting to the excited.
Yeah, that's another one.
So the next one is time keyed, but this one is new as well.
No, it's a time keyed, timely, I think it's called in the smart, but the concept is basically the same. You need to have a timeline with it. You know, so it needs to be, you know, you achieve this goal by that time, you know, because otherwise, you know, you need to measure it at some point. Yeah. And that's actually, important to have. Set not everything by, you know, by Christmas or something like this, or by the end of the budget year or something, but it's good to kind of spread out the different goals over the year if you have yearly goals, and also quarterly goals if you have quarterly goals, not all have them at the end of the quarter. So that you can, you know, tick off things over time and can focus your effort at different time points. Because focus is also really, really important to be productive.
And now, excitement.
Excitement is the last one. That's also a completely new one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is really, I mean, we just touched it. So if you're not driven from within yourself, then, you know, if you have no excitement, if you have no drive from inside to this, then forget your goals.
Yeah. Well,
don't even start. Bother starting.
So if someone says to me, you need to hand in all your expense reports in time. Yeah, that's probably kind of specific, measurable, actionable, time keyed. Not sure whether it's risky. Maybe it is. But it's surely not exciting to me. Yeah. I think you need to have some passion to reach your goals, and the goals needs to nurture this passion.
It should be, you know, your business life should be exciting anyway. I mean, otherwise you may consider choosing a different job. So that's why I think this is really like an overall, you know, driving factor for have the passion or this excitement on things. Yeah. And actually it drives, it's very close connected to the last one, to the R.
The relevant pun. Yeah.
Which is relevance.
Yeah. And of course, you know, if it doesn't matter, well, it's an obvious one, but it should be relevant in the bigger scheme of things. It should help you to achieve your longer term goals. It should, you know, help the overall business. There's where the, you know, the win-win-win situation comes into. That it's a win for you. It's a win for your team. It's a win for the organization, and should usually be also a win for whatever customer you're serving. But, so that is, where the relevant comes in. And of course, it's very related to the being excited and the other things. Okay, and now we get into how you actually achieve these goals once you have defined your smarter goals. And it's not about, you know, just defining one goal. It's about defining goals, because you need to usually cover a variety of topics. However, it's also important to not have too many goals. So I think most of the people that I know don't struggle with not having enough goals. I think it's more usually the problems that people have too many goals, too many different projects with too many different, you know, objectives, and doing this thing and this thing and this thing. And then in private life, having also more than a dozen goals. And then these goals are not meaningful anymore, because goals help you to have a direction. And the key is that you consistently work in one direction. So, you know, you put one step at a time, but lots of steps after each other in the same direction. So overall, then you get to somewhere. Whereas if you move into 20 different directions, one step at a time, then you end up nowhere.
Yeah, that's not to be confused with, or not, with, you know, if you have a goal, and within that goal, you have several and a lot and thousands of different tiny things to do and are on your desk, that is still the movement in the same direction. That's not, you know, it's really about, you know, if you work on projects different projects or different initiatives or different studies, so where which are not directly connected. So that is giving you also like it's a competition between your, you know, giving your work time or your work effort to a certain time. So this is not that may be quite challenging in terms of for the productivity, but within one goal you may still have lots of tiny fiddly things to do and sometimes wandering.
Yeah, you break them down, you know. So maybe, you know, you have a goal at the end of the year. I want to have, I want to have training program within your stats function ready. Yeah, so that covers a wide variety of different skills that you want to do. And you start with, let's say, some communication skills, and you build a training for that in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, you build the skills on how to increase your business understanding. And in the third quarter, you increase your goals about, let's say, certain tools that you want to use in the organization. And so you break it down into sub goals. And that, of course, makes, you know, perfectly sense, because all these shorter term goals fit into the longer term goal. Yeah. And that's the usual process of breaking down goals, but I wouldn't call these, let's say, separate goals. Separate goals would be, well, you want to work on your on an internal training, and then you have this cross-functional process optimization project, and then you are in this cross-company initiative, and you're working on three different publications, and you also need to build your team, and there's a couple of studies that need to be delivered as well. So that's kind of, you know, over time it gets
high variety.
Yeah.
I remember last time we discussed this, you mentioned that you have basically like a daily check on your, or you break down like your goals really on a daily check in to set your, I don't know, your kind of action and for the day, with that goal. You're still on that one.
Yeah, I'm really important on that one. So each morning I have a routine to start my day with checking my yearly goals and then breaking them down into the, you know, what I need to achieve this week overall, and then what I need to achieve today to get to there. And this concept comes from a book, The One Thing. And it basically, you know, what is the one thing today that has the biggest leverage on achieving your goal? Yeah, so it can be something that really accelerates your goal, or things, you know, removing roadblocks from that you have in, you know, that hinder you from achieving your goals. And if you think about these kind of two different directions and you have your goals in mind, then you can make sure that each day you're driving towards your goals. And you need to check your goals daily to make sure that you align prospectively throughout the day. Yeah, because if you, like I did it early in my career, you know, look at your goals after 6 months, first time again, after you've written them in January, you realize, oh, interesting what I've written there. Yeah. And so I've never worked on that. Yeah. Because I've just, you know, forgot about it. Yeah. And also that makes sure that whenever there's a fundamental change, you can actually adapt your goals. Yeah. So let's say you're working on studies, and the compounder has a big tox finding, and that comes out of nowhere for you, and all studies are put on hold. Well, if these studies were in your goal setting system, you need to rework it. or maybe, you know, something becomes obsolete due to an organizational change or whatsoever. Yeah. So there's lots of things that can change throughout the year that can have an impact on your yearly goals. And if you look at them on a daily basis, you assure that also they stay relevant. And one other thing is you can reformulate your goals and make them more precise, for example, so that they become more actionable. So let's say you have a goal in there where at the beginning you wrote it down and you thought it specific enough, but the more and more you're working on the project, the more you think it's actually not very clear for me anymore what I really need to do here. And then you can, you know, get back to the goal and refine it and clarify it. And then it becomes easier to reach because clarity helps you to get to the point. So one of the biggest problems with procrastination is that, at least for me, and I've seen that very often, is that it's unclear what to do. Yeah. So, and what to do next, especially. So, for example, a goal could be, I've write a paper on topic XYZ. That's a great goal for a year or, you know, a couple of months. But it's not a good goal for, you know, to put in your, let's say, weekly goal system, because you won't write a paper in the complete week anyway. And it also doesn't help you to get into action. You need to do something that is actionable, that you can do in a small fraction of time, let's say in 15 minutes. So for your daily actions, it's great to have something that is like brainstorming on the topics you want to write about in the introduction, or structuring the overall paper, or, you know, doing research on existing literature and getting 5 citations together or something like this. Yeah, so something that is... that's actionable and it's not too big. Yeah,
because I mean, otherwise, it's basically breaking down the overall goal into pieces and bits and pieces, and really just focus on the one thing that is on your desk for the moment.
Yeah. And so I think it's important, you know, to do that daily. It's important to review it daily. I have them written down, so actually in paper, so I can see them, and you know, there's some even speculate about, you know, whether long written goals are better than, you know, typed goals. I'm not sure completely about the science behind that, but it's for sure something that is, you know, it makes it very personal.
Yeah, I think that is really up to everyone else, you know, everyone individually, because then some people just love paper, others just don't even know how paper feels anymore. So, which is fine, because it's...
Well, for me, the important thing is that I can see it, you know, that I see it constantly, even if I'm, you know, have different windows open on my computer, I still see my paper. And that's the important piece. Of course, if you have a desk that is full of lots of other papers, then maybe that's a different problem. Yeah. There's one other thing that is important. To distinguish, there's basically two different types of goals that you can have. You can have achievement goals, and that is usually when we speak about goals, is, you know, you want to, as we said, write this paper or get that SAP done or deliver these tables or whatsoever. And that's, you know, achieve at a certain point in time, and you have steps towards that. The other thing is to build a habit. Things like, and that's, you know, classical is running 10K per week or something like this, or running, you know, 3 times per week, or exercising, or reading books on a regular basis, or
practicing your instrument or whatever.
Yeah. Lots of these kind of self-improvement topics are habit goals. And so you can also set them. And then you can also track them on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, whether you're actually performing them. And that helps you also to build these habits. So, for example, one of my goals, for example, at some one point in time was to build my habit of checking my goals regularly. So it's pretty meta. Okay.
but it's close to the topic, actually.
but you know, and then you can, you know, you can track that by, you know, just putting a, don't know, you know, calendar and marking things off or something like this. Or if you have some of these paper calendars help you do that. There's lots of different calendars that support these kind of things, and we can put some references regarding that into the show notes. But that is a, you know, also something to consider. It's these habit goals are sometimes even more important than the achievement goals.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just not achievement is not achievable, basically. Because the, for example, I mean, just for, you know, when you do the running and you say you would like to run regularly 3 times a week, you know, if you set your goal and say in 1 year, I'd like to run the marathon in within a certain, you know, time, that is not achievable maybe because of your, you know, your body is just not able to do it. It's just not achievable. But running 3 times a week is, you know, is the best, is the habit, is the thing that's helping you. So that I think this is quite often, you know, it's, you know, rather than doing unachievable goals, then you should focus on the habit.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, you know, these habit things can also have something to do with, personal well-being, these kind of things. So for example, for me, running is also, it's not only kind of a physical activity, it also helps a lot from the mental perspective to, you know, just relieve stress and
yeah. And you need the time to listen to podcasts anyway.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's another point. So, and of course, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you can do all these kind of things for your personal goals, as well as your work goals. And, one other thing is I have also personal work goals, so to say, you know, something that I haven't discussed in detail, maybe with my supervisor, but just that I set for myself, where I measure myself against it. And, you know, maybe I'm playing it a little bit safe here, but that's important for me and to keep me on track. And everybody has a different supervisor. You know, some supervisors are just not that keen on setting goals. I recently talked to one of the participants in the leadership program and from academia, and she mentioned, well, her supervisor doesn't set any yearly goals. They don't have as a university that management by objective like many companies do. So then still you can set yourself work goals, irrespective of your supervisor. And I hope this episode convinced you of the value for that and actually also how to do that.
Yeah, I think we also, just going back in time, we do have an episode on how to work with the your supervisor on the goals. I mean, you sometimes have to push. That's, you know, things that I have experienced as well. You have to push for the goals and for the time, and they are set and together and stuff. So, but we had an episode like quite a while ago on that topic already. Yeah.
Yeah, you just need to listen to all the episodes and you get all the value. Okay, two things that help you to achieve these goals that you can build in early when you actually set these goals. There's one is accountability. And so, for example, for myself, I really struggle to get going for a run on a regular basis. So I have another colleague, friend, and especially friend and also colleague that holds me accountable on it. So we actually hold each other accountable. So she has a similar goal, and we basically text ourselves with the screenshots of the running apps in terms of when we have done our run. So that helps to set each other accountable. And it's a really, really nice technique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice, especially if you have a colleague, because within a family, it may sometimes lead to some stress on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, the family could be more kind of the family goal setting. Yeah, so that's another topic. The other techniques that you can plan for your goals is to reward yourself when you actually reach them. So, and these could be all kind of different things. Yeah.
Yep. No, that's a good one. I think this is something which is really motivating, the reward of it. I mean, it doesn't need to be a big thing. It's just, you know, just open nice bottle of wine or, you know, whatever. So just, you know, celebrate it and enjoy that you reached the goal. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or buy that dress that you wanted to buy, or, you know, or have that nice dinner with your spouse or something like this. That, because I think celebration also for yourself, is quite important, because, otherwise we're just running. And yeah, we don't have the feeling of achievement. Mm-hmm. Okay. With that, we have covered everything that we wanted to cover in this episode, specifically about goal setting, why it's important. We talked about the smarter frameworks, the specific, measurable, actionable, risky, time-keyed, exciting, and relevant goals, and why it's important to have a habit of tracking these. And we also talked about a couple of different examples of goals that you can use for your work. Any final words, Benjamin?
No, just setting a goal for recording another episode next time.
Yes. Okay, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
This show was created in association with PSI, and thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background. Thank you for listening. Just visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes, all the links that we talked about, and that will overall help you to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector. Also, it would be awesome if you could join the LinkedIn group and share your experiences there, especially how experiences you have in terms of goal setting, how that relates to your work, how you do goal setting, and whether you have any questions about it. So just go to the LinkedIn group and share your questions there. Of course, you can also comment on the effectivestatistician.com homepage and this podcast episode. So, like always, I'm ending with reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.